Okay, I'm joined as usual at this time by David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, for our astronomy slot. We're going to talk about that incredible discovery of the baby planet, light years away, and it seems there's an awful lot to see right here in our own skies this week without needing a giant telescope. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much.
Now, David, a really exciting story broke last week, but you're going to tell me that it didn't actually break last week, but it feels like it's a straight out of a sci-fi novel. Astronomers from the University of Galway, as part of an international team, have just discovered a brand new baby planet still in the very early stages of forming. It's been named WISPIT-2b. WISPIT-2b. It's a gas giant like Jupiter, and it's about 430 light years away. David, a baby planet, that sounds incredible. For our listeners who might be new to this, what exactly is a protoplanet like WISPIT 2, and why is finding one at this stage of its life so significant for astronomers?
Well, stars like the Sun live for about 10,000 million years. So to get a planet that's only 5 million years old is very young indeed. The young Earth hadn't cooled down completely by that stage of its life. So very young planets like this are an extreme rarity. And we have to say, the reason the story broke last week is it got published eventually in a professional journal. But we actually covered the story for our readers way back in the July issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine, which means we were writing about it in June. And we talked to the researchers at Galway, Dr. Christian Ginsky and his colleagues there. And they had another team in the Netherlands as well, were joint discoverers of all this. So readers of Astronomy Ireland magazine know all about this months before it actually hit the mainstream media.
So anyone with interest in the skies, Astronomy Ireland is the place to be, because they had the news first, and would probably have other news first as well before it hits those journals.
Yeah, we try to cover all the international stories, but if there's an Irish angle, we're straight on to that. So if you're like Irish astronomy, not just what to see in the sky, what people have been seeing in the sky, but some of the research gets done in our institutions, universities around the country, then do get the magazine. And it's produced by volunteers with a euro a week to keep you bang up to date.
Absolutely. Now, the article mentions this discovery was, quote, unexpected. From your perspective, what makes this find so surprising or unusual?
Well, the first thing that was found was the dust ring around the actual star, which is about 430 light years away. To give you an idea, we look up into the night sky. Most stars are typical tens to hundreds of light years away that you can see, and there's only a few thousand you can see, whereas there's nearly a trillion in our whole galaxy. That means it's relatively nearby, not on human timescales, but on astronomical timescales. Then to go, you would expect with dust rings, there's a chance planets are forming there, and that's what they went looking for. And Ireland is a member of the European Southern Observatory. We pay our dues, along with dozens of other countries in Europe, to build these giant telescopes, which found this particular object. It can see in infrared light, which helps see through, see things that are dusty in particular. And these are world-class cutting edge. So Irish researchers have access to the biggest telescopes in the world. We've even got shares in the Hubble Space Telescope and the James Webb Space Telescope. So Irish research astronomy is thriving very well.
Now, David, it's located 430 light years away, which Dr. Ginsky calls our galactic backyard. Can you put that distance into a perspective for us? What the ordinary person would consider light years away? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, light travels seven times around the Earth if it didn't go in a straight line every second. So you can imagine how far it gets in 430 years. And to put it in perspective, people know the sky a little bit well. I might have seen the Pleiades star cluster. Nice little cluster now in the evening sky rising over in the east. And it's almost exactly the same distance away, just over 400 light years away. So there are stars we can see with the naked eye in the sky at this distance.
Okay. Now, they spotted this planet, David, using the Very Large Telescope in Chile. Can you explain a little bit how this technology allows us to see something so distant and faint, especially ones that's detected in near infrared light, like night vision goggles? That's probably the nearest thing we know them to be.
Yeah, well, the telescopes in Chile belonging to the European Southern Observatory are amongst the biggest in the world, and they've already cut the top off a mountain to build the world's biggest telescope, beating anything any other country has. The Americans are close on their heels, but the new telescope is going to be called the Extremely Large Telescope, ELT, and its mirror will be nearly 40 meters across. The ones that we use to define this are about 8 meters across, which is absolutely colossal in world standard. It's up there close to the biggest. And when you add the technology of being able to see in infrared light, that means that you can see things the naked eye can't see. So telescopes not just built, certainly not built for astronomers to look through or even take pictures in normal light. They want to be able to see in other wavelengths as well. And even from the Earth's bottom of the Earth's atmosphere, we can see infrared light. Other wavelengths you can't, you need to go into space for those. So this is about as good as it can get in ground-based astronomy. With one of the world's biggest telescopes, which, like I say, Ireland has part paid for, so we put forward proposals to use all these telescopes, and then they're chosen on merit. So if Ireland has a lot of great researchers, we'd actually get more time than we paid for, and that's the way it's actually been, both on the space telescopes in the European Space Agency and the European Southern Observatory, both completely different organizations. And in fact, the chairman of the board of the European Southern Observatory at the moment is Professor Tom Ray from the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies. Tom Ray will be well known to people. He's the man who proved Newgrange was astronomically aligned many decades ago. And now he's sitting on the board that controls the biggest telescopes in the world. So it's a fantastic Irish success story all round.
Now, speaking of success story, this find seems like a huge moment for Irish research, with University of Galway students playing a key role in it. How important, David, are these kinds of discoveries for putting Ireland on the map in the world of astrophysics?
Well, yeah, on this island we've got a very good reputation with what are called exoplanets, planets around other stars. And so Irish researchers are considered amongst the best in the world. In fact, Dr. George Dransfield, who's from the UK, is coming over to Starbecue at the end of this month to give our keynote talk at the event all about exoplanets. And it's a hot topic of research, because if we're going to find life anywhere else in the universe, the first thing we're going to do is find planets. Then we're going to find ones that are the same size as the Earth and the right distance from their star, so things like water and therefore chemistry can get going. And one day, we hope to be able to detect signatures in their atmospheres of the kind of things that life gives out, primarily things like oxygen, which doesn't tend to be produced naturally. Really, it's a byproduct of life. And there are other gases as well that you can detect. So although you might not be able to see the cities on these other planets, you can tell if there's at least simple life growing in their oceans, like we think started on the Earth, and it's just another step along the way to contacting aliens, which, by the way, happens to be the second subject at the Starbecue. We have the Deputy Director of the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence in the USA giving our second talk. So it's all about life, finding where they might be, and then how's the search to find radio signals from intelligent life going. It's one of the big topics at this year's annual Star Party.
Wow. Now, David, before we get to the big events ahead this week, you mentioned to me a couple of lovely things that you saw last week. First, Venus next to the Beehive Cluster at dawn. What did that look like?
Yeah, that was a fantastic sight. We alerted everybody last week on the radio.
That's
show.
Right.
It's been in the magazine weeks before that. And anyone who did bother to set their alarm clock early, they're actually closest this morning. I was out again trying to spot it. A lot of rain over Ireland this morning. But the night before, they were almost as close as the diagram in the magazine shows. And I got to see it then. Got some nice pictures that'll be going into the next issue of the magazine. We didn't get many reports in from around the country. So either people weren't as lucky as me with the clear skies, or else they don't like setting their alarm clock for 5 a.m. in the morning. But to see this, the brightest object in the sky, next to a star cluster, you needed a pair of binoculars to see it, the cluster, that is. And it's a very rare occurrence to see the two side by side, and I was delighted. The Irish weather let me see something this spectacular for once.
And you also saw the Starlink satellites, and they can be quite a startling sight for people who aren't expecting them.
Yeah, this is a double-edged sword. We hate the Starlink satellites, and not just Elon Musk. but also Jeff Bezos that's putting up thousands more, and the Chinese are at it too, and other corporations. They're going to have 100,000 satellites ruining the night sky. To me, it's like plastics polluting the ocean, but not much we seem to be able to do about it. But they have to confess, they do look pretty when they fly over soon after launch, and a batch of 24 was launched Saturday morning. And though we can't predict that in advance in the magazine, we do predict it on our social media, and we told people to go out that night, look over in the northwest, and they'd see 24 satellites so close together, you couldn't see them individually with your eye. It looked like a line crossing the sky instead of a single star. Very beautiful, even nicer in binoculars when you could count the 24, but really telling us that they're ruining the night sky, maybe in a pretty way, but I'm always in two minds as to whether. I like promoting it because it shows how much junk we're putting up there while people have something interesting to watch.
Now, we've a couple of things to get through before we finish. Now, on to tonight, David. There's a lot of excitement about a potential aurora. Firstly, what's causing this prediction, and when and where should people be looking if they want a chance to see the Northern Lights? We mightn't get to see them, of course, tonight.
After we get a big explosion on the sun, if that happens facing the Earth, the radiation gets blasted towards us, our magnetic field deflects it into the North and South Pole, where it hits the upper atmosphere and makes it glow. It's actually the same phenomenon that happens in the fluorescent lights in offices and kitchens before we all had LED lights. And it's a fantastic display from the ground. You can see rays, curtains, sometimes big glows of reds and greens. There was a fantastic display last October and another one in May of last year, which was the best in 500 years. And we're expecting some kind of display this evening. Not sure how strong it'll be, but it should at least be a glow on the north horizon and could be better than that. You never really know these things till they arrive.
Absolutely.
And watch from dusk till dawn is all the advice we can give you. And follow our social media where we predict the aurora every day, whether it's going to be one from Ireland or not.
Now, David, let's talk about the big one. The total eclipse of the moon on Sunday evening. Now, first of all, the timing is a little unusual here in Ireland with the moon rising as the eclipse is ending. What exactly will we see, and what's the best time to look towards the eastern horizon?
Yeah, well, this is the problem. The eclipse happens great over Asia, Europe, and then just as the eclipse is ending, the moon rises in Ireland. So we won't actually get to see, just by a few minutes, the full total eclipse. But then that's the moon entirely in the Earth's shadow. It dimmed down by a factor of hundreds of thousands, looks usually a blood-red color, and used to scare ancient civilizations enormously. We now know it's just the moon going into the Earth's shadow. But as it rises on Sunday night, we will see the moon coming out of the Earth's shadow. So that's what's called a deep partial eclipse. The only problem is, as the moon is rising, because it has to be directly opposite the sun in the sky, that's the way shadows work, the sun will just be setting, so the sky will be very bright. But as the sun goes down and the sky gets darker and the moon comes up on the opposite side of the sky in a darker sky, but it's coming out of the eclipse,
Okay. We'll
have this really interesting effect to watch of a deep partial eclipse becoming less and less. And sunset is around the 8 o'clock mark, varies depending on where you are around the country. I'd certainly be watching at sunset, looking over. I'd put the sun behind you, and the moon will be in front of you as it comes up. Use a pair of binoculars to get a better view, although it will be visible to the naked eye, and take lots of pictures with your camera phone and send them into Astronomy Ireland magazine. There's a full article in the magazine.
Okay.
If you join up today, you're instantly emailed the what to see in the sky notes.
Now, we've about 30 seconds. Astronomy Ireland has two great events coming up. First, an online lecture on next Monday, September the 8th, with Danielle Wilcox from Blackrock Castle Observatory. She'll be talking about black holes and alien planets, which feels very timely after today's news. What can people expect from that talk, very briefly?
Yeah, it's a popular level talk aimed at the whole family. Starts at 7 o'clock next Monday. Book your tickets now on the website astronomy.ie. She's working at the Blackrock Castle Observatory. They have a huge telescope down there studying what you said, their planets and black holes. So it should be an interesting talk all round. And then the other big event is the barbecue coming up at the end of the month, Starbecue Astronomy Day. There's a movie you can watch about that.
Okay.
We've talked about it already. don't miss it at all, I will say. It's going to be a brilliant one this year.
Okay, fantastic stuff. So much to look forward to. David Moore, editor of Astronomy Ireland, thank you so much for joining us for all that incredible information. And to recap for listeners, look out for the aurora tonight. Watch for the lunar eclipse this Sunday evening as the moon arises. And you can still book tickets for all those events online, the lecture and indeed the starbecue. Okay, that brings us to the end. Thanks, David, for joining us.